Our Old Testament reading today comes from the book of Psalms, chapter 118, verses 1 and 2, and verses 19 through 29. Let us listen for the word of God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and that I have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray. Give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Kids, that was awesome. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Our gospel reading today is from the book of Mark, chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the towns of Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. Go into that village over there, he told them. As soon as you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, what are you doing? Just say, the Lord needs it, and we'll return it soon. The two disciples left and found the colt standing in the street, tied outside the front door. As they were untying it, some bystanders demanded, what are you doing untying that colt? They said what Jesus had told them to say, and they were permitted to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it, and he sat on it. Many in the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, praise God, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessings on the kingdom of God, of our ancestor David, praise God in highest heavens. So Jesus came to Jerusalem and went into the temple. After looking around carefully at everything he had left because it was late in the afternoon, then he returned to Bethany with the 12 disciples. Palm Sunday, triumphal entry. Jesus finally shows up in Jerusalem, right? It's what his disciples have been wanting him to do all along. Show everybody else that you are king. I've always had a little bit of a hard time with the part of this story, though, that Jesus is riding on a donkey. Right? I mean, little girls, do you grow up fantasizing about riding on a donkey one day? The book isn't Gray Beauty, right? It's Black Beauty the horse. Because nobody's like, oh man, when I grow up, I want a donkey. I mean, Shrek 2, right? What is donkey? All donkey wants is to become a stallion. To put this in our terms, if our king was to come to us riding in a Yugo. This is Jesus. This is the God of the universe. Why doesn't he be a little more like Gandalf and whistle and Shadowfax shows up, right? Why a donkey? The little gray burro. I just didn't get it for years. They're actually quoting in this passage Zechariah. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me. Zechariah chapter 9, in verse 9. It's this kind of odd prophecy. Zechariah, the prophet, speaks. He says, "Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious." We like victorious kings, right? Especially when they're our king. Not so much when they're Caesar, but when they're our king, we like them victorious. "Your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey." Riding on a donkey's colt. And then Zechariah quotes God. He says, "I will remove the battle chariots from Israel and the war horses from Jerusalem. I will destroy all the weapons used in battle, and your king will bring peace to the nations. His realm will stretch from sea to sea and from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth." That's actually kind of an amazing prophecy, right? And something we wouldn't expect. We don't expect a victorious king to come in riding on a donkey. That's not how kings do it, right? Caesar doesn't enter Rome riding on a donkey. He does it on a chariot, pulled by horses. I asked my seminary professor about this when I was like, why on earth, he was my Hebrew teacher, and he actually happened to be a Jewish rabbi. I was like, why on earth is Jesus coming on a donkey? Why not a horse? And he said, because horses are always associated with war. In Hebrew thinking, if you show up on a horse, you're there to fight. Start to change it a little bit, right? This prophecy of Jeremiah, I mean, given everything we know about humanity, about our rejection of God, if God shows up victorious, if I was God, I would be pretty tempted to do it with an army, right? I want to show these rebels who's boss. For me to be a victorious king and defeat them, I'm coming with my horse and my sword. And we get Jesus riding on a donkey, coming in peace. I actually think this is a pretty incredible statement for us, that our God is coming to us, not on a war horse, but with a donkey, because he's not coming to defeat us. He's coming for us. He's coming in peace as our God, as our Savior, as the one who is seeking to reconcile us to our God. His disciples, I don't think, got it. I don't think I get it all the time. You remember the story right after this, right? Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Judas shows up with the army, with the police, to arrest Jesus. And of course, Peter does what any of us would do, right? "No, Lord, I'm going to protect you." And he pulls out his sword, and he whacks off the ear of the high priest. I'm pretty sure he missed. He was probably going for something. But he gets the high priest's ear, the high priest dodges, and the priest's servant's ear, and the ear falls off. And you remember what Jesus says to him? I think this is kind of stunning. Let me see. Sorry. I'm going to have to check my notes. It's verses 51 through 53 of Matthew chapter 26. Jesus says to Peter, "Put away your sword," Jesus told him. "Those who use the sword will die by the sword. Don't you realize that I could ask my Father for thousands of angels to protect us, and he would send them instantly?" Greek actually says a dozen legions. The legion was the standard Roman army unit of 1,000 soldiers. Jesus says he could have a dozen legions of angels, not just armies, well-equipped and armed, a dozen legions of angels, and God would give them to him instantly. Jesus could have completely defeated the entire Roman Empire right there. And honestly, I kind of want him to do that. Let's just set this right now. It would be very much like in The Return of the King and The Lord of the Rings, where the dead army comes off, except it's not the dead army, it's the ultimate alive army of angels. But no, what Roman legion can stand up to a legion of angels? Nobody. Game over. Jesus could have done that. That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus could have showed up with a dozen legions of angels and conquered the entire earth. Made Alexander the Great look like a chump. But he doesn't. Instead, he offers himself. Kings don't usually let people kill them. Jesus shows up riding on a donkey, offers himself, apparently says that the answer isn't bringing the sword to Caesar, but giving ourselves to the world. One of my favorite texts, Colossians 1:19-20. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. That's a pretty far-reaching text, right? All of God was present in Jesus. When we look at Jesus and what Jesus did, we are seeing, according to Paul here, the fullness of who God is. That's what the king looks like. We think the king should look like Caesar most of the time. And Jesus came to show us what it actually looks like to see God. Not only that, but that through Jesus, God is reconciling a few people to himself. In Christ, God reconciled everything to himself. Wow. There's room for me there. There's room for you there. There's room for our kids there. God is at work in this world, coming not on a war horse, but coming on a donkey, because he's coming for all of us. Coming on our behalf. Coming to bring peace from the Euphrates to the ends of the earth. Oh, let us give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Maybe way better than we expected. And his love endures, well, for a little while. No, his love endures forever. The psalm says it over and over and over again because we as humans are so tempted to forget. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by the means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he is reconciled to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. This is where we get to stand today, in the presence of God. Because Jesus came to us not riding on a war horse, but riding on a donkey. This is good news. This is so fantastic and wonderful and hopeful because we get invited into this work, right? Like he is seeking to reconcile all things to himself, and he wants to use you and I to do that. That when we walk out of here, we are very literally God's agents of love and reconciliation to the rest of the world. There is darkness out there, but we are called to be light. We get to walk out of here and go not riding war horses towards our enemies and drawing our swords to put them in their place, but rather coming on donkeys. It might be a little humiliating sometimes. To show up in the Yugo is not how we pictured it, right? I had myself coming in a Porsche. Unfortunately, that's not the way the story played out. We are invited to be God's agents of reconciliation because we have seen how God has come to us, and we are invited to go that way to the world around us. I found a really cool story of this last week. Alice and Emmanuel. Alice and Emmanuel were not two people who one would have expected to become friends. In spite of the fact that they went to school together in elementary school in 1994, they're from different tribes. Emmanuel was a Hutu, and Alice was a Tutsi. And in 1994, Emmanuel was one of the Hutus who bought into the idea that the Tutsis were responsible for pretty much everything that was going wrong in Rwanda, and that the solution lay in removing them. So he picked up machetes with a lot of the other Hutus and went door to door, killing every Tutsi he could find. One of the doors that he entered was Alice's. He killed her daughter. He swung the machete at her. She raised her right hand to block it. It amputated her hand, wounded her. He thought she was dead, and he left. But she didn't die. She lived. She made it. The genocide went on, of course, and then it stopped. And 3 years later, Emmanuel turned himself in to the authorities for what he had done. He spent the next 6 years in prison and then was released under a program that the Rwandan government had where perpetrators of the violence would try to go out and make restitution for what they had done wrong. And so Emmanuel started going around to the houses where he'd killed people or hurt people and trying to do things he could do to help them, to make it up to them. He went to Alice's house and to his shock and surprise found her alive. He thought she was dead. Now, if I'm Alice at this point, the last person I ever want to see knocking on my door is Emmanuel, right? Killed my daughter, tried to kill me. The amount of pain and suffering and grief he injected into my life are probably not repayable. I want that guy dead. She probably did for a while, but he asked her for forgiveness and he asked to help out and if he could do anything to help her. And he kept coming and kept begging her for forgiveness. And finally, she relented. She agreed to forgive him. And as time went on, they started working together and they formed a charity that is now building houses for survivors of the Rwandan violence. And she's the vice president and he's the treasurer. And they have actually become friends in serving and trying to make the world better. This is what we are invited to do. This is the message of Palm Sunday, of Jesus coming riding on a donkey, is that we are called to go out and be God's messengers of reconciliation, of peace. This is the message God has proclaimed in Jesus and the one we are so privileged to be able to offer to our neighbors, to our spouses, even when they do those really annoying things we've asked them not to, to our kids, even when they disobey, to our enemies, to our friends. We get to be God's agents of peace, and that does indeed end up being the highest glory one could ever aspire to, even a knight riding on a horse. If you, let's stand with me if you're able, and let's sing our closing hymn, number 268, Ride On, Ride On in Majesty.